Great. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. If you haven't met me before, my name's Matthew, and welcome to you if you're visiting. Glad that you're with us. And we're carrying on with our discipleship series this week. But before we start, I've been thinking this week about life-changing moments, and I've been reflecting on a few life-changing moments I've witnessed so far this year. And if you've just moved to Swansea, if you're new in Swansea, new student, maybe that's a bit of a life change for you. Maybe when you have your first Joe's ice cream, that might be a life-changing moment for you. If you haven't tried it yet, give it a go. But here, I got some real life-changing moments. I got a little clip for you of some life-changing moments from 2016. Do you want to see them? Great. Have a look at this.
So we know, with a Gareth Bale on the pitch or an Aaron Ramsey, a little bit of brilliance in the space of seconds can change your life.
Bale. Good run from Aaron Ramsey. Well found. Kicked in towards Robson, Kanu, Taylor's available, what a turn, what a goal! What a goal from Hal Robson Kanu!
So Max, Wimbledon's over, any thoughts? Great, thanks.
James Alexander Cresswell, take you, Megan Papps, to be my wedded wife.
So I give you Mr. and Mrs. Cresswell.
My name's Steve. I came here tonight because there was healing going on. I thought I'd have a go at it. I've actually got a broken ankle. I got 10 plates, 10 screws, 39 staples, all my ankle together. I lost my whole ankle bone outside my foot from an injury off a ladder 2 years ago. Couldn't hardly walk. Can't run, life-changing, and tonight I've been healed, and I can actually walk properly. I've got no pain whatsoever, and hopefully I won't have any more for the rest of my life. So thank God for helping me.
So there we are, four equally important life-changing moments, if you ask me. Tim and Flick having their first child, James and Megan getting married, Wales run in the Euro 2016, very important. And then the last one there, I don't know if you could quite catch it, but that was a guy called Steve. I don't know if it was this year or the end of last year. But what happened to him was he's fallen off a ladder, terrible injury with his ankle, so bad, pain every day. The doctor said the only thing they could do for him to help would be to amputate his foot. And then he met Julian at a healing cafe. I prayed for him, he got completely healed, he could walk properly, life-changing. And if there's anyone here today that you're struggling with something physical, we'd love to pray for you at the end. We see loads of people healed when we pray for them. And, you know, God is real. Jesus loves us, and he's interested in the things that we face in our lives every single day. And he wants to be a part of every single part of our lives. And that's what we're looking at today, really, where we're carrying on with our discipleship series. This is part two, and this is all about how it's a life change, our lifestyle. Now, many people here and across the country have been discovering Jesus for the first time. We've been hearing stories of more and more people finding faith. And so that's why we've started this discipleship series, because there's so many people that it's going to take every single one of us to help new people in their faith journey, who maybe they have an encounter with Jesus. They're like Steve in that video there. He'd never really been to church before, you know, wasn't a Christian. But then suddenly his ankle gets healed and he knows that God is real and he decides to follow Jesus. And then what happens then? It needs someone to come alongside and help disciple them. Like that thing we had with the apprentice. It helps help them discover who Jesus is for themselves. And last week we had part one and we looked at when someone first becomes a Christian, what is the first thing they need to know? What's the most helpful thing that they first need to know? And that is that it's all about Jesus. That Jesus, who is God, who came to earth 2,000 years ago, who made God accessible, who showed us what God is like, who met with people, who ate with people, who healed people, who taught people, who changed people's lives when they encountered him, who was a real person and who was taken by the Romans and put on a cross and crucified, but he did it to take away all the wrong things that we've ever done or ever will do, so that nothing has to separate us from God anymore, but that we could know him in our lives. We can know his goodness, his freedom, his truth, his love. He can be alive to us. He can be real to us. And he died on the cross. And then 3 days later, he came back to life again, defeating death, so that death doesn't have to be the end for any one of us, but each of us can have eternal life and eternity with God. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus did that for every one of us 2,000 years ago. And when we choose to follow Jesus, when we become a disciple, when we become an apprentice of Jesus, it's a life-changing event, a life-changing moment, even more than Hal Robson-Kanu's goal against Belgium, even though that was pretty impressive. It's life-changing. When someone discovers and encounters Jesus, it could be the same person. It's the same person. You might be in the same job, in the same street, but now something is different. Something has changed. And a few people I've met recently who've discovered Jesus for the first time, this is how they've put it. One person said, "I've never felt so secure. I wish everyone could experience what I have." Another person said they've never felt loved like that before, and they realize now that they are never alone wherever they go. And they said, "I wish I'd known this 15 years ago." Another person said that they had confidence for the first time to be themselves, that they could be who they are, and it brought a new confidence into their lives. Another person just said, "I feel brand new. I feel brand new." And you see this in the when you look through the pages of the New Testament of people who encountered Jesus, of people like Peter, James, and John, when they encountered Jesus and he said, "Come follow me," and it says they left their nets. They were fishermen, so that's why they weren't goalkeepers. They left their nets and they followed you. They left everything behind because they saw something in Jesus that was worth more than anything else, and they followed him. Or James, who was not a postman, but Jesus' brother. And he didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. His own brother didn't believe in him until he saw him alive from the dead and realized, wow, okay, my brother, he really was telling the truth. And he became like a key leader in the early church. Or in Luke chapter 8, we see different women who followed and supported Jesus and traveled around with him. And some of them had been healed. Some of them had been released from afflictions and demons in there. That had been in their lives, and Jesus had healed them, released them, and then they had began to follow him, and it changed their lives. And in the Bible, it says this, in 2 Corinthians verse 5, it says, missing my slides. "At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone. A new life has begun." And last week in the first part of this series, we were saying how when someone first discovers faith, it's really good for someone to come alongside with them and to meet them soon and to chat about what has happened, who is Jesus and what he has done and what it means that now we can have relationship with God in our lives today. It's something that lasts for eternity. It's a gift of eternal life, but we don't have to wait until we die. It starts today. And so today, part two, we're going to be looking at how does this affect our lives? What does this life-changing moment mean? And how do we help someone discover the fullness of life that God has for them? Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So part two is how do we help someone discover the fullness of life which Jesus has for us? Now, what we want to avoid, first off, is when someone first begins to follow Jesus, is just coming in and slamming them with a whole list of rules of like do's and don'ts. Now you're a Christian, this is what you must do. Because as we know, each of us is in a continual walk and relationship with Jesus, becoming more and more like him, like we saw in Adam's verse about imitating Jesus. And God, as we walk with him in relationship, he continually, gently puts his finger on different areas of our lives to highlight it to us to bring it to the surface so we can see it for what it is and come more and more into freedom and who God is calling us to be. And all of us experience that all the time, don't we, as we go in our life with Jesus, that he continually brings things to the surface for us and helps us to move into freedom. And we grow out of our relationship with God, and it builds a step at a time. As we put our trust in him, we trust him with something and we see his faithfulness and how he comes through. And then we trust him with something else and we see that he's faithful and he comes through and his words are reliable and can be relied upon. And so when someone's a brand new Christian and maybe we've experienced going along with Jesus for some time and he's been gently helping us on our journey, we don't want to just come and slam everything that we've learned over the years on someone who is completely brand new for, because they haven't had the time to develop that trust and take those steps and build that faithfulness and begin that relationship, because it's all about relationship with God. It's not just something that we believe in our minds or a philosophy that we follow. Being a Christian isn't just trying to be a nice person and come to church on Sundays. It's a relationship with a real, alive God who cares about our lives and has a plan for you and has a plan for this world. And so we want to help people to grow and develop that trust. And as a relationship grows and their trust develops in God, they're able to take those steps of what he might be asking them to do in their lives and discover more and more of who he's made them to be. And so at the same time, we don't want to just completely back off and have an anything goes approach, because we want to help people discover the fullness of life that God has for them. It's a little bit like, you know, when someone gets married. I got, here we are, James and Megan in the summer getting married. Now that is a life-changing experience and a life-changing moment, because James, for someone like yourself, you're not just James, but you now, you've got like a new identity. You're a husband or a wife. You might, you know, change your name if, people still do that. And but not only that, your behavior then has to change somewhat, doesn't it? So, you know, for a guy, if you get married and then you carry on living as if when you were single and you're leaving the toilet seat up and you're playing FIFA all night all the time, you're not going to be getting the fullness of that relationship here. It's not going to go well for you. Or Tim and Flick, who had their first baby this summer. That's an amazing thing that now they've got this little child to look after. And now their identity's changed. They're not just Tim and Flick, but they're a mum and a dad to Max. But you guys, you've had to change your lifestyles a little bit, haven't you? You can't just be like, all right, Max, we're going to the cinema. You know, food's in the fridge. We'll see you later. It's an amazing thing. But the life changes as well. And the behavior changes with it. And a similar way, our faith in Jesus is a life-changing relationship. It's a relationship. It's not just believing in God, but doing life with God. Our identity changes. Now we are a child of God. We're in relationship with him. We know him. Our purpose changes in life. What we live for each day, our outlook on life, the decisions and our lifestyle, they're all affected by this life-giving relationship now that we have. It's the start of an adventure to live as Jesus lived, to do as he did, and to be part of something bigger than ourselves and something everlasting. To follow God and his eternal purposes. And so for someone like every one of us who gets the opportunity to come alongside someone who discovers Jesus for the first time and to help them discover all that God has for them, that's a really exciting thing to do and a really fun thing to do, to be able to help people see how God is real in their lives, how God is active in their lives, how God has a plan for their lives, and help them to see that and discover it. Because do you find often, I find this, sometimes it can be hard to spot in myself the things that God might be doing or the things that God might be saying. It can be hard sometimes to spot God's activity in my own life, but I can see it often in other people. And so we get to help people see it for themselves, and it's a really exciting thing to do. So we're going to look at a few things. I've tried to keep it really practical because we want this to be so that everyone can do it. So is that okay? You ready for that? Should we go through them? Okay, great. So number one is changes. And a great place to start when, for example, so someone's come a new Christian and maybe you're meeting up with them and you're thinking, okay, how do I explain all this? Well, a great place to start is by asking them, what's your experience been so far? What's it been like for you so far? If it was like a week ago, what's happened in the last week since you chose to follow Jesus? Because the Holy Spirit, as soon as any one of us chooses to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, becomes alive within us immediately. This is what it says in Ephesians. When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. And God's presence, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside of us. And he immediately gets to work in building our relationship with God. We relate to God through the Holy Spirit. And so a great place to start is to look maybe at that verse in 1 Corinthians where it says, 2 Corinthians, the old life has gone, a new life has begun. Look at that together and say, how has it been for you since? Have you noticed any differences? How has it felt? What's it been like for you? And the person you're chatting to, they may have some examples. They may be able to point to some things, or they may not be sure. But you can help them identify them. And I normally take a photocopy. There's this great page in the Alpha Course, and I got some photocopies of it if anyone wants to take it, where it talks about the Holy Spirit and how he works in our lives. And it's got different things on here that you might notice. So, for example, things like a new love for God. Someone may have never even considered God before, but then suddenly they encounter him and they find out they actually love God. They might not know anything about him, but they got a love for him. That's amazing. Or they want to spend time with other Christians. I remember one guy recently, he got saved last year, and we had our Christmas service here, and he was going to come and bring his family, one of the first times he was bringing them. And then that afternoon, he got offered Swans tickets for free, and he's like a massive football fan. And he turned down the Swans tickets playing at the same time to be able to come. And I was like, whoa, God's definitely doing something in his life. Do you know what I mean? Fair play. Someone might have suddenly have a desire to read the Bible. They never thought about reading the Bible before, but they want to read the Bible or to worship. They just have a sense of gratitude or feeling thankful, or they want to do something. They want to serve people. Suddenly they want to help people. Remember one guy offering me, he said, I'll come up and mow the lawn up at the church. He wanted to do something because he was so grateful for what God had done in his life. Or feeling like you want to forgive, sense of forgiveness. And so you can look at these things and chat about it and identify together, what experience have you felt in the last week? What have you noticed that maybe you haven't felt that way before or thought that way before? And that's a great chance then to encourage someone and assure them that their faith is real and that God really is alive and active in their life. In 1 John it says, God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. And God wants us to be confident in our faith. He wants us to be sure in our faith. He wants us to know and be confident that he is with us, that he is with us every single day. Because, you know, just when we become a Christian doesn't mean that the complexities of life go away. And Jesus experienced the complexities of life. I was at a youth meeting yesterday. I just felt God give me a picture where there were some people there where they'd been hurt recently by friends or close family. And it was really confusing for them, and it was causing them to question, like, does God love me and is God with me? But you know what? Jesus experienced that. He was betrayed by his closest friends who abandoned him and betrayed him. And Jesus experiences and understands the complexities of life that we face. And he wants us to know always that he is with us every day. He's given us his Spirit as proof. And so it's really great to encourage and to assure new believers that it is real and that they can be confident in their faith. And then it's great to pray together and to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill them, to come and fill them with his presence and all the good gifts and goodness that he has for them. So to pray together. So that's number one. And then the second thing is freedom. In Psalm 119, it says, I will walk in freedom, for I've devoted myself to your commandments. Now, Zacchaeus, he was a notorious cheat and thief in the town of Jericho. He was powerful. He was the chief tax collector. He had the Roman army at his backing, and he was considered a traitor, a notorious thief. And yet, on that day when Jesus walked into Jericho, he had the audacity to go up to Jesus and Zacchaeus and say, I want to meet with you. I want to come to your house. Now, that, like, socially, politically, culturally, that was just an absurd, ridiculous thing for Jesus to do. To go and meet with Zacchaeus, a notorious cheat. The guy who had basically stolen off everyone else in the town, and Jesus invites himself over his house for dinner. Like, Jesus is just fearless. He just didn't care what other people would think about that. It's amazing. And he goes into Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus has this thief and traitor has an encounter with God, his friendship, his acceptance, his love, the life that he has for him, and it changed his life. In an afternoon, it changed his life, and he didn't want to cheat anymore. And he turns and says, I'm going to give half of my wealth away and pay back those I've cheated four times as much. And I love it when Jesus says here, salvation has come to this home today. Yes, this man too is one of God's chosen people. And Zacchaeus, who everyone would have considered to be a traitor and not one of God's chosen people, when he encounters Jesus, he gets restored to who he was truly meant to be, one of God's chosen people. And in encountering Jesus, he didn't have the desire to steal and cheat anymore, but now he had the desire to give this wealth away to those who needed it. And there was a change. And when we encounter Jesus in a real way, it causes changes in our life. As our relationship grows, Jesus' passions, Jesus' desires, Jesus' longings become our desires, our passions, our longings as we get to know him and as we walk with him. And so you'll find that as a new Christian maybe begins to read the Bible for the first time or begins to pray for the first time or comes to church or meets with other Christians for the first time, that God will begin to speak to them and put his desires in their hearts. And they might ask you about it. They might ask you about some specific things that they've noticed. So for example, Adam was saying when he first became a Christian, when he was like 17, 18, and he was an apprentice in like an engineering firm or company, whatever you call it. And he'd been a Christian for about 6 months, and he was with all the lads there. And then one day, he was just swearing, and suddenly, it's like the words coming out of his mouth just didn't feel right anymore. And it's like it didn't feel like that was who he was to say these words and to speak this way. And he said it hit him like a ton of bricks. And it was 6 months after he'd become a Christian. But in that moment, it's like suddenly he had a realization, I don't need to speak like this anymore. This isn't me anymore. This isn't who God in me. This doesn't feel right. Or it could be something else. So I'm just like swearing. Or it could be a relationship, something with a relationship or integrity or honesty. It could be a variety of things that God puts his finger on. And when this happens, don't be afraid to talk about it and to explain why and to be ready to answer about what God is doing and what God is saying. So if we go back to this verse at the start where it says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. And in the next verse it says, all of this is a gift from God. And this new life that we receive is a gift. It's a free gift from God. His forgiveness, his life-changing power, his purpose. It's a free gift. And it comes through repentance. And repentance is an old-fashioned word, but it basically means a change of mind or a change of direction. Where we turn away from the old life is gone, and the old life of living my life independent from God, trying to figure it out all on my own, all in my own strength, with just what I want to do, independent of God, to turn into the new life where we say, actually, I want to live my life with God. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow his way. I want to be a disciple of him. Can you put a next one on, Si? Great. So sometimes, as we turn from the old life to the new, just like with Zacchaeus, who left his thieving days behind him, sometimes there's things that we leave behind us as we turn from the old to the new. But Jesus never asks us to leave something that's good for us. He never asks us to leave something that's going to bring life into our lives. He wants to bring us into freedom and into life. And nothing that we may ever leave behind is worth what Jesus has ahead of us. Nothing can compare to the eternal life that is ahead of us and his purpose in our lives and joining in with him. And nothing we'd ever leave behind compares to what it cost Jesus to win us that free gift. Jesus gave his own life. He was crucified on the cross. That's how much he was willing to give. And nothing we would ever give costs as much as that. And nothing we could ever gain is as good as that. If I said that right around. Anyway, you know what I mean. So, if you can, when you're chatting about this, if you can, show them from the Bible and chat about, show them from the Bible over what it is they're asking you about and chat about, what do you think this means? Why do you think the Bible says this? And explain how we can do it. That we follow God in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's his strength and it's his leading. In Galatians 2, it says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In this, I trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, out of our relationship and trust that Jesus is leading us in a good way. And then share your experiences about how you've managed this in your life and pray about it together. And when you chat about it, the person you're chatting with, they might want to go away and think about it. They might need to think about it for a while, and that's okay. We all go through challenges and choices. The important thing is that we make sure that this person you're chatting with knows that they're supported, that they're accepted, and that you are there for them. And if you're ever not sure what to say, then suggest someone that they could speak to, like a small group leader or maybe one of the elders in the church who might be able to help answer their question or point them in the right way. And then a top tip is before you meet with someone is to pray for that person and ask God to speak to you for them. And God might show you something that's on their mind or on their heart. And then you'll be able to find out the answer from the Bible ready before you chat with them. Okay, and then the next one is purpose. In Ephesians 2, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I remember when Beth, who's a friend of mine and leads a worship band, when she became a Christian, when we were 16 in school, she like had always loved singing, always loved music, always been like in the choir and different bands and stuff. But then maybe just a year before she became a Christian, she like quit it all because of like the peer pressure. She didn't, it felt like it wasn't like the in or the cool or the thing to be singing and to be the one who was singing all the time and that kind of stuff. So she quit. But then when she became a Christian, suddenly it's like she found a new way in a new place that actually this gift that God had given her, that she could use it. And now, she leads the band here, but she comes to schools with me every week and sings songs and teaches songs to kids and she's sung for the Queen. And it's like God had put something in her and now she had a place to use it and she came into that purpose that God had created her for. Amazing. Or like Mike, some of you guys know Mike, and he studied like maybe 10, 15 years ago at university. He studied camera work and media and film, but then he never really got the opportunity to use it once he finished university. And then he became a Christian a few years ago, and Sam, a couple of months ago, invited him to join the camera team. And I was driving him home in the car the other week, and he's saying, I never thought I'd get to all the stuff I did at uni. I just thought that was kind of behind me. I never thought I'd get the opportunity to use these skills I'd learned. That's cool, isn't it? One of my favorite examples, when I was at uni, I studied about William Wilberforce and how he was like a politician. And as you know, he was someone that campaigned for the abolition of slavery. And he was a Christian. But he was, before he became a Christian and before he was doing anything to do with slavery, he was like already ideally placed to do this, but it wasn't on his radar. He was like a politician. He was charismatic. He was popular in the parliament. People liked hanging out with him. He was wealthy. He'd inherited money so he could like fund a campaign, but he wasn't a Christian and this wasn't on his radar. And then suddenly he encounters Jesus. It changes his life. He becomes aware of the slavery issue and it's like, God brought this purpose into his life. He was already ideally placed, and now God had something amazing for him to use it for. Oh, I love it. And the same for us. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we become a disciple, when we follow him, he has purposes and plans beyond our imagination, beyond our expectation, and he wants to invite us to get involved and to join in. And so a great place to start when you're chatting with someone who's just become a Christian is to ask them, have you told anyone about your faith yet? That's a great place to start because that's something we can all do. Have you told anyone about your faith yet? And what did they say? How did it go? And encourage them to share their faith about what happened to them. What was their experience? What's it been like while it's still new and fresh and they can recall exactly what it's like? And Fionn, we heard a bit of Fionn's testimony on Tuesday. I loved it when she said that she was someone had brought to church here in a meeting and someone had a prophetic word where they felt God was saying there might be someone here with a back and a leg pain that they could pray for. And that's exactly what she had. And someone prayed for her and she said, immediately God's love hit her like a bus, which I thought was a great phrase, but a nice bus perhaps. It hit her like a bus. And she said, she just felt God in a real way and knew that his love was real. And she said, don't ask me to explain it, I just knew it. And those experiences are real and they're powerful. And so it's great to be able to encourage new believers to share that with the people that they know. And to encourage them, they don't need to think they know all the answers. They don't need to know all the answers or understand everything yet, but just because none of us do, but just to share what it is they've experienced and what they know. And then encourage them to invite a friend or family to a social or to a meeting or to church so that they can see for themselves what it is that they've experienced. And then share your own experience, your experience of sharing your faith with friends and family and how that's gone. And share encouraging stories from your life and what you're doing. And then that gives you a chance to explain the gospel again. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? That's a new one, isn't it? That's a student lunch, is it? Hope you like burnt sausages, guys. It's a false alarm. Just by the way, just so you know, just in case. Great. Should we carry on? Great. Yeah. So that gives you a chance to explain again, as I will, again. Who is Jesus? Like, why did he come? And how for each of us, we can receive his forgiveness in our lives. We can be free from guilt and shame, the things that hold us down. We can have a fresh start. We can have life with him, that he loves us, that he cares about us, that we're important to him. And you can encourage them, how do we get to know him? And how we just, when we just pray and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I thank you for all that you've done for me. Will you forgive me for the things I've done wrong? I want you in my life. I want the gift of eternal life. Will you come into my life now? And it's as simple as that. And you can encourage them again how we get to know Jesus. And then pray together for their family and their friends and the people that they know. And that's number three. And then finally, number four is parable. And there's this great story that Jesus told that's really great. It just sums it all up to chat together and to read and discuss together. And you find it in Matthew 13, and it's the story of the farmer who scattered seed. And this farmer just goes out and scatters this seed generously. And that represents our like encounters with Jesus, how God just generously gives of himself all the time because he wants everyone to know about him. He wants everyone to hear about him. And he just generously, constantly, through us, through the church, through people, through his work, scattering seeds, encounters with Jesus. And the seed lands in different areas. And some of the seed landed on the path. And they land on the path and the birds snatch it away. And Jesus explained what this means is when someone has an encounter with Jesus where they hear, or they see, or they feel something, but it doesn't go in and it just gets snatched away and it doesn't have any effect. It doesn't go in. But then other seed landed on soil and it sprouted up quickly. Sprouted up quickly. But then the soil was shallow and the plant, it never put any roots down. So that when the sun came out, it scorched the plant and it wilted. And that's talking about when sometimes we might encounter Jesus and we might respond quickly and we respond maybe even with enthusiasm. And we're like, oh yeah, this is great. Wow. But then there's no No investment takes place. It doesn't go deep. It doesn't take any root in our lives. We don't start to develop that relationship with God. And so then when a challenge comes or a struggle comes, it wilts away because the roots aren't there in that relationship. Or other seed landed amongst thorns and it grew up, but then the thorns, they choked the plant, they overshadowed it, they blocked its access to the sun. And so this plant never reached its full potential. It never reached the fullness of life that was available to it. And the thorns, Jesus said, were the worries of life, the what we live for and the lure of wealth. And it's like our focus, where we're going, what gets our first priority, our time and attention. And when the worries of life or the lure of wealth crowd out that I'm putting Jesus first and I'm going to follow him with everything that I am, it chokes the potential to reach that fullness of life. But then finally, the seed landed on the good soil. And Jesus said it grew up and produced a crop 100 times more than was planted. 100 times as much. And the soil, the good soil, that's like our hearts and lives. And it's when we say, Jesus, I'm in. I'm here, heart and soul. I want to allow my relationship with God to grow. I'm going to put my trust in him. And when challenge comes, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to take a step to put my trust in God and see his faithfulness in my life. And then I'm going to trust him again when another challenge comes. I'm going to see his faithfulness again in my life. And as our relationship grows and we build our life on him, it produces fruit 100 times that which was planted. More than we could ever imagine. More than we could ever do on our own. And you know, going back to kind of the start, when Jesus called Peter, who was a fisherman, Peter was a fisherman, likelihood his dad was a fisherman, probably his dad was a fisherman, you get the idea. Peter probably imagined he was going to spend his life as a fisherman. Catching fish, selling fish, every day, that's his life. And then suddenly, he has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus says, come follow me, and it's like his eyes are opened to what the fullness of life available to him. That God is alive, that God heals, that God speaks to people, that God is eternal life, and that he involves us. He involves you and me in spreading that throughout the world. And Peter began to follow Jesus, and he is someone, his life was changed, and the world was literally changed through people like Peter, through just an ordinary fisherman. And Jesus' call is the same for you and me. In our ordinary lives, he says, come, follow me. Open your eyes to the fullness of life available to you and to me. And it's our great privilege that we get to communicate that to people who discover Jesus for the first time. That we get to show and just give them a glimpse and allow God to do the rest, to open their eyes to all that he has available to us and wants to do in our lives. 100 times, it produced a crop 100 times more than was planted. And all this is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that's at work in our lives. And as we trust in God, he is the one that produces this great fruit in us and empowers us to do these things. So should we pray now, and should we invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill each one of us again and to encourage us in our lives, that when we look like, what is the soil of my heart at the moment, that we invite the Holy Spirit to come and to clear out the thorns and to clear out the rocks and to allow those roots to go deep into him again, so that as we help others and as God works in our lives, we too will see his goodness flow through us to the people around us. So should we pray? If you're happy to, should we stand together and pray? And why don't you now just invite, if you're happy to, if you want to, just invite the Holy Spirit, God's presence, to come and fill you again, or for the first time, and just say, dear Jesus, would you come to me? Meet me with your presence now, and then I'll pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are alive, that you are real, that you are real in our lives. And right now we invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill each one of us again. That you would grow our roots down deep into our relationship with you. And that you would come with your strength and encouragement. And Lord, would you give us an opportunity this week to share about the wonderful things, the life-changing things that you've done in our lives. And would we see you at work and active in our lives this day and this week. So come right now with your strength. Fill us again with peace. Let us know you with us. And would you lead us in the fullness of life that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.